Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, March 10th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 4:30 today, we're going to be joined by our friends from the Historic Point Boss, talk about their Sugarbush event coming up. Right now, though, we have our friend on the phone, Haley Heitzel. She is the 77th Alice in Dairyland. Haley, how you been?
It's been wonderful. How are you doing?
Doing good. Thanks so much for calling up and joining us on the phone lines here. We appreciate it. We know how busy you are, so thanks so much for being able to make the time. Haley and I are going to talk about Big Cheese in a moment. Before we get to that, though, Haley, we had the 78th Alice in Dairyland candidates come up recently, and how'd that go?
Yes, they have their press briefing this past weekend. It's been absolutely wonderful to get to know them a lot better. They are about to go on what is called the hardest job interview around. So it's been really wonderful getting to know them better, teaching them a little bit more about the Alice in Dairyland role. We have ladies coming from all over Wisconsin this year from all different backgrounds, so it's been really great.
Haley, what is some of the process that these candidates are going through?
So up until now, they applied in January to the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, just like a typical job application, resume, cover letter. Out of everyone who applied this year, a few of them were selected to come and interview at the department. So they went through a preliminary interview process. And then out of that group, only six were selected to be top candidates for the 78th Alice in Dairyland. In order to be qualified for that initial interview, they had to have experience in communications, public relations, marketing campaigns, agriculture, education, public speaking. There was lots of skills they already needed to bring to the table. So now we're excited to really help them refine those skills. Going forward from here on out, they'll be going to what I lovingly call Alice in Dairyland School. Every week, they'll be tuning in online, and we will be teaching them from our various program partners and also people at the department different ways to be ambassadors for Wisconsin agriculture. They also have to fill out weekly assignments that vary. Some of them are more difficult than others. I can't give you exact details on what those assignments are, but think things that Alice in Dairyland does on a pretty regular basis. Social media posts, blogs, videos, things like that. And those will actually be judged by our finals panelists. And then in May 15th to the 17th, they will have that partially public job interview. There will be some tours of different agricultural businesses. They will have some experiences doing some public speaking. They'll get to try out being on the TV and the radio. And then on the night of the 17th in Crawford County, we will be selecting our 78th Alice in Dairyland.
Wasn't that long ago you were going through this process, Haley. I imagine there's some nostalgia as well as some insight you can give these contestants.
Absolutely. It feels like just yesterday I was being announced as a top candidate. It's definitely a bittersweet feeling, but it's really, really exciting to be able to see more people go through this process. My advice that I always give to anyone who wants to pursue being Alice in Dairyland is to be yourself. Everyone wants to see your best you. And the beauty of the Alice in Dairyland program is that Alice is a new woman every single year. I have a very unique background in agriculture, coming from an urban upbringing and eventually making my way to the dairy barn. But that's not going to be most people in agriculture. And Alice, we want to really showcase each individual person's story in agriculture. And so I always tell them, be genuine, be authentic, and bring your best self to this role.
You know, it turns out Mom was right. Just be yourself. It's always the right way to do it. It's always the great approach. It's a great first step, just being yourself. And we're looking so forward to how this rolls and following along with this as we get our next 78th Alice in Dairyland. But currently, we are talking to the 77th, and we got Haley with us. And Haley, appreciate all of the information you just gave us. And the topic today, Big Cheese. As a journalist, I want to mention, though, I do have some bias on this topic. I do believe that mozzarella is the perfect cheese. I do believe I'm a big mozzarella fan, Haley. So I just want to get that out there right away as we're going to talk about cheeses here and everything. I'm a little biased. I love mozzarella. But who will be the next big cheese? Let's discuss this, Haley, with our friends.
Yes, so of course it is March right now, and with March comes March Madness, basketball teams battling it out for championship. But Allison Dearland, we take a fun spin on it with Wisconsin cheese. I took those over 600 varieties, types, and styles of internationally recognized and awarded cheeses we have in Wisconsin, and I narrowed them down to an elite eight to have them compete for the title of the next big cheese. Unfortunately, mozzarella in its true form of mozzarella did not make my bracket this year, but you'll be happy to know Wisconsin is the number one producer of mozzarella in the U.S. And that is because mozzarella is used so much on pizza. It's actually the number one cheese we produce in Wisconsin. People love mozzarella cheese. But for my bracket this year, I picked out some a little more unique cheeses. Oaxaca is one of those on there, and that's actually a style of mozzarella, sort of. It is like a Mexican style of mozzarella cheese, kind of like a fancy string cheese. So if you haven't tried it yet, I definitely recommend it. If you're a mozzarella fan, you'll really like it. But some of the other cheeses we have on that bracket are Munster, Alpine style, Havarti, Gouda, and mascarpone and Swiss.
Nice. It's a fun idea, Haley. A big sports fan myself, and I love this time of year in March Madness. So many people love filling out brackets. Here's one more bracket for people to fill out and have some fun with, while also really bringing attention. And one of the things that we like doing, especially with when it comes to our kids or kids in general, is having them learn something without them realizing they're learning. Teaching them a lesson while they're having fun. I think you're able to promote so many of these cheeses that people may not know otherwise, and maybe even get them hungry for some of them while just filling out a bracket.
Yes, that is exactly the point. And if you want to go fill out a bracket of your own, you can head to the Allison Dearland pages on Facebook and Instagram. Selection Sunday was yesterday, so there was no voting. It was just showcasing those cheeses. As we go out through the rest of March, I will be educating a little bit more about each of those styles of cheeses. We can learn a little bit about them, and then you can go ahead and vote over on our Instagram. That's like on the stories page. So that'll be throughout the rest of March. It's really wonderful to be able to showcase all this cheese because here in America's Dairyland, we really take pride in our cheese making. We produce 25% of the world's supply of specialty cheese, twice as much as any other state in the U.S. We have nearly 1,200 licensed cheesemakers crafting those over 600 varieties, and we're consistently winning more awards than any other place in the world. If Wisconsin was its own country, we would win more awards than any other country in the world for cheese. Everyone has their favorite cheese, just like favorite sports teams. So it's really fun to be able to take a fun spin on that March Madness bracket and do a little bit of learning along the way, like you said.
It is a really great combination and a really cool thing, and appreciate all the effort and time that gets put into this to do this. It's great work, Haley.
Thank you very much.
To give us a small taste of Wisconsin cheese, which cheeses will be facing off today?
So the first round coming up this week is going to be Munster versus Alpine style cheese. So Munster is one of the first semi-soft cheeses in the U.S. It traces its origins to ancient monastic Alsace, France. It arrived in Wisconsin in the late 1800s, where the state's skilled no-nonsense cheesemakers put their own spin on this classic. While traditional European Munster is soft and creamy with a washed rind, Wisconsin's version is firmer, with flavors ranging from mild to sharp. Its signature bright orange, natural annatto coating make it instantly recognizable with that bright orange on the outside. It's an earthy, versatile cheese that is simply irresistible. It's great on its own. It's great on a cheese board, and I know a lot of people really, really love it on sandwiches. The other one we've got is our Alpine style cheese. Since the 11th century, the Alps have been home to Gruyere and other Alpine style cheeses crafted to endure the region's snow-packed storms. When immigrants from these mountainous regions settled in Wisconsin, they brought their time-honored cheesemaking traditions with them. Wisconsin cheesemakers continue to honor these classic Alpine style cheeses using traditional copper vats and old world techniques. But with Wisconsin's innovative spirit, we're just beginning to unlock the full potential of these nutty, rich, and full-bodied cheeses. This is one that we're going to definitely see more of on a cheese board or with various cheese pairings. It definitely has a stronger flavor, and may not be quite so versatile as a Munster, but is equally as delicious.
Boy, that's a tough matchup. I would not want to have to make a choice on that one. That's a tough one to figure out. Where are you going to go with that one, everybody? Get on over to their Facebook page and find out and play along.
Yes, absolutely. It's definitely going to be a tough matchup all the way through the rounds. Last year, we had cheese curds on the bracket, which that one was an easy winner all the way through. I feel like this year, I don't even have any bets on who is going to win.
That's just it, Haley. I was looking at this list, and I'm like, I think I actually would probably do better with the actual March Madness brackets than I would with this one. And if you've been paying attention to college basketball, anybody out there, it's all bets are off. I mean, who knows who's going to win this year? It's the same thing with these cheeses. There's something fun about this, too, where some of these, I haven't thought of them maybe in a while. I see it, and I'm like, oh, that's going to do well. Yeah, that's another fun part of this.
Yeah, I definitely tried to pick cheeses. There's a couple familiar ones on there, of course, the Munsters, the Havartis, things like that that people really do recognize, but still aren't quite as recognized as something like a cheddar or a mozzarella. So I really wanted to delve deeper into some of those more unique cheeses that might not be the first ones we grab for in the case. I also really wanted to highlight these cheeses because when you do go to a grocery store in Wisconsin and you see hundreds of different kinds of cheese in the case, it can be really hard to figure out what kind you want to explore next. Of course, you can always tune in on the Alice page. I'm happy to talk about any kind of cheese on the planet. But you can also always talk to your cheesemonger. They are really happy to point you in the right direction. And so I'm hoping that this gives some love to some of those lesser selected cheeses.
Yeah, well said. How can we tell that dairy products we buy are from Wisconsin, Haley?
That is the really important part. It can also be sometimes a challenge. So when we're shopping at our favorite grocery store or retail location, in Wisconsin, it's usually pretty easy. They'll have their whole section dedicated to Wisconsin cheeses. But when you want to really make sure, you're going to look for the Proudly Wisconsin Cheese or Proudly Wisconsin Dairy badge on all your cheese and dairy products. Or you can look for the number 55 on milk packaging, so those like liquid fluid milks, buttermilk, things like that, and that'll ensure that you are buying genuine Wisconsin dairy products. Buying local is a great way to contribute to our local economy and help support our $52.8 billion dairy industry here in Wisconsin. And if you want to learn more about those Wisconsin cheeses or the dairy industry in our state, you can always visit wisconsincheese.com. They have wonderful educational information on there.
Yeah, bookmark that page, everybody. It will be you'll be going to it a lot. It's a great page. Thank you for that, Haley. We're speaking with 77th Allison Dairyland Haley Heinzel right now. And March is such a big month for our local athletes, our college athletes. There's a lot of playoffs going on the high school and college level. March is a big month for athletes. How does Wisconsin dairy tie into sports?
You're right. March isn't just big for cheese. It's also a really big deal for our Wisconsin athletes. Chocolate milk is actually the official beverage of the WIAA, which is how we wrap those two things together. So whether you're recovering after a game or just enjoying a nutritious treat, chocolate milk is a powerhouse for hydration and recovery. There's 13 essential nutrients in chocolate milk that can really help you recover after a game. And that's whether it's basketball, something really aerobic, or something anaerobic, more like football or weightlifting. Chocolate milk is really perfect for muscle recovery and helping build muscles. So it's important to raise a glass to Wisconsin's hardworking athletes and our nearly 6,000 dairy farm families, 99% of which are family-owned, more than anywhere else in the United States.
It's pretty impressive. And any chance to talk about chocolate milk, I will take it. I love chocolate milk. It may be my favorite thing to drink. But in part because of how the health benefits of it. And I love whenever we have it feels like it's become a bit of a tradition. We get into this time of year or the beginning of the school year and a lot of our athletes getting to work, bringing up and mentioning again how impactful and how helpful chocolate milk can be.
Absolutely. And it is fun because it does kind of feel like one of those things that should not be a health food, but it really is. So it's absolutely delicious and it's so good for you too. I've had several friends tell me I was actually not a sport player in high school. I was very active in FFA, so I did not have time for sports. But I had several friends tell me as I've become Alice, they're like, oh yeah, my coach always had a refrigerator full of chocolate milk that we would just grab right away after practice. And that is really great to hear because chocolate milk is so beneficial for everyone, as a fun treat or as a recovery beverage.
You mentioned fun treat. It just to let the audience look behind the curtain a little bit, Haley's nice enough to give me some notes and some data to talk about when we have these interviews. One of the sentences I see is complete chocolate milk toast. What is that, Haley? What do we do?
Well, so that would be if we were live on TV.
Gotcha.
So that is meant for, yes, for our TV audience. We do a chocolate milk toast at the end of discussing our cheese bracket to
gotcha.
Toast those Wisconsin athletes. So yes, that is what that note means in my talking points. So the talking points go out to radio and to TV.
I want people to like imagine in their head what you can imagine would be a chocolate milk toast now. I want you, like, whether you're talking about actually like breaded toast or just toasting each other, like, you know, you with your glasses or something like that. It's just have some fun
yes,
with that one.
The intention was the glasses. For
yeah,
sure.
Right on.
That's funny.
I couldn't help myself, Haley. I'm sorry. it's a great note. As we're getting close to wrapping up here a little bit, Haley, one of the things I thought would be fun would kind of go over some of the notes and some of the information that you've come across while putting together this bracket. And just in your time as Alice in Dairyland, we've got a bunch of crazy, insane facts about this area, about Wisconsin in general, and the cheese producing it does. And I think some stuff that may be common knowledge and other things that you have here that I don't think a lot of people know about.
Yes, when it comes to being America's Dairyland, I know I've heard some things along the road about some other states that maybe want to take that title. But when you really look at our cheese production, Wisconsin absolutely takes the cake. There is no doubt about it. We're home to more than 100 cheese-making companies in Wisconsin. We've been crafting cheese for over 180 years, which is one of the reasons that we're one of the most awarded cheese locations in the world. We've been doing it for so long. We've been honing that craft. We are also the only state that requires our cheesemakers to have a license. So they have to go to school. They can't just go out and make cheese one day. We don't let anyone, just anyone, put that proudly Wisconsin cheese label on their cheeses, and that's for a reason. Cheese making is a family business in Wisconsin, with nearly 40% of all of our dairy companies being multi-generational family-owned cheese companies. Some cheese making businesses even go far back as 4 generations, which is really exciting, mm-hmm. just like our dairy farms being family-owned. Wisconsin cheese is available in 98% of the nation's grocery stores, and that's going to be, for a big part of it, going back to the beginning, that mozzarella. Frozen pizzas, a lot of times, are going to have Wisconsin mozzarella on it because it's the top variety of cheese we produce in Wisconsin. And compared to other varieties, 31.4% of the cheese produced in Wisconsin is mozzarella cheese. And we send it everywhere. If you go down to Chicago and you want Chicago deep dish, I can bet you that they have proudly Wisconsin cheese right there in their menu. They're mm-hmm. proud to say that that mozzarella is from Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. In 2023, Wisconsin produced 3.51 billion pounds of cheese, so we make wow. quite a bit. And not only do we produce a lot of mozzarella, we are also the top producer of feta, Romano, provolone, Parmesan, specialty cheese, Munster, and cheddar cheese. So there is a lot of cheese making going on in Wisconsin for sure.
It's really impressive. I mean, any one of those stats we could have spent the whole show on. But there's so much interesting things going on about that. I think the history, the 180 years of producing cheese in this state, is very interesting, especially when you go down a rabbit hole and you see some of the old equipment and some of the ways they used to do this. It's really interesting to me. But I think one of the things that I always like to talk about in any chance we get or put some time on is the idea that the cheese making is taken so seriously and so respected in this state that there is classes in school and a degree that you can earn in this. The way that this is approached in this state is not only, I think, fun, but something interesting. And the idea of somebody being able to make a career in this is very cool.
Absolutely. It's very fun, but we also take it very, very seriously. We also have, I missed saying this, we have the only master cheesemaker program outside of Europe. And that means that if you see on your cheese when you're going to the grocery store, there'll be a special little logo on there that says master cheesemaker. And that means that that cheese was made by somebody who spent 10 years honing the craft of that specific style of cheese. They're also having to go to classes and exams and proving that they have their own really special, unique style of cheese. And they have to go on to continuing education afterwards to continue learning more about that style of cheese. So a cheesemaker that has three different masteries in, you know, let's say cheddar and provolone and mozzarella, spent 30 years, three decades of their life studying cheese, just that. And so we put a lot of effort and a lot of time into those kinds of programs here in Wisconsin. So we want to make sure that not only are we putting out a lot of cheese, we are putting out the best cheese available.
Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why Wisconsin makes the best cheese. And Haley just gave us a walkthrough about all of that. Really appreciate the time, Haley. And certainly want to encourage everybody to fill out those brackets and keep up to date on it every day and check those brackets and see how things are going, see how your favorites are doing. You can do that at the just type into your search bar on Facebook, Allison Dairyland. Follow along with her page and all the things that are going on there. And Haley, if people have other follow-up questions, would like to know more, how can they reach you?
The best way to reach me is either through that Facebook and Instagram page or AllisonDairyland.com. If you have any more questions specifically about Wisconsin cheese, WisconsinCheese.com is a wonderful resource. As Alice, I use it all the time. There's thousands of recipes for all those cheeses we talked about today. You can really learn anything you want to know about Wisconsin cheese from that website.
And anybody out there, schools or anything that thinking about inviting Allison Dairyland, keep in mind you can do that as well. And you can find out so much more information about the things that we've talked about today. Go to AliceInDairyland.com, AliceInDairyland.com. Haley, safe travels out there. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk again real soon.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.